Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Guida, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infragistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really happy to have Constantine Klerygin. I might not have pronounced that right, but long-time software company, software developers, built some really cool stuff. I checked it out before this podcast, and has a couple companies. One's called RedWork. But Constantine, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? And yeah, I'm looking forward to next 30 minutes or so talking about AI and development and everything.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me. So my name is Constantine or Const. And for the past 21 years, I've been running two agencies. One is RedWork that specializes in software development, full software lifecycle services. And the other one is called QAWork, and we do software quality assurance. So we work with the industries like e-government, fintech, and media. And to give you a few examples, the code that we developed runs in the European Parliament, in the voting room, in both Brussels and Strasbourg. We developed the U-Town and e-government solution, connecting citizens to their local municipalities, implementing the Open 311 standard, awarded by the Champions of Change award by the White House. And on the fintech side, we worked with an African fintech provider called Union 54, which is a MasterCard partner. We also helped promising startups achieve their goals, such as exits and acquisitions, like we did with Unfold that got acquired by Squarespace, and Archetype acquired by ClickHouse. We helped them from the ground up, and it led them to these major acquisitions. So long story short, in 21 years, we worked with we delivered over 250 projects in 22 countries, with the overall user count of 770 million.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, a lot of people build software, but I think what's notable is that you've built some really good commercial software that has actually had a lot of usage, and so that's congratulations. That's pretty exciting. So. Well, let me start off with it. So you've been building software for 20 plus years, and it's been pretty significant, us also being in the tech industry. Like, how significant has the AI shift compared to other technology shifts? Maybe you can just reflect on that.
Well, the AI shift is pretty amazing, because with Gen AI, you can skip the boring part with the bits and bytes of writing the code. And as a software engineer, you can focus on some more important stuff, such as architecture, integrations, user journeys, infrastructure, things like that. So it's a powerful tool that enables you to deliver faster. But as powerful as it is, it also helps you fail faster, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a pretty major shift. And with and speaking of the hype, or the other part of it, right? The hype is also real. Like, it was, we saw hypes in our experience. We saw the hype related to the mobile, right? So when the first smartphones emerged, I worked for Nokia, by the way, at that time, and Nokia actually developed the first smartphone on the market. So everyone rushed, many businesses, not everyone, but many businesses rushed to have a mobile application. Not necessarily all of them needed it, and neither did the ecosystem, which was not mature at that time. Another hype was, and also a major breakthrough was the cloud technologies, and people moved their solutions into cloud for one reason or another, or for no reason. Even though they were self-hosted and working fine, but they still rushed to move them to the cloud, and which resulted into like really expensive hosting bills. And nowadays, with AI, it seems well. While it's the technology is pretty impressive, the hype is also there.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt. So it'll be interesting to hear the audience to hear your point of view. So there's a lot of talk about 10x developer and AI coding tools that are definitely making developers more productive. But are we measuring like productivity the wrong way? Like, what are your comments around that?
Well, my comment is that it's obviously a multiplier. So it multiplies everything. It multiplies speed, it multiplies bugs, it multiplies discipline or lack of discipline. And now with the code being so cheap, so easy to produce, it's also it still requires a certain discipline, or maybe even more discipline than before, in terms of understanding the workflows that you are building, understanding the business logic you are implementing with AI, and also testing the outcomes. Because when you can ship features on a daily basis, you still need to verify the output. And if you don't, you just deliver slop, and the testers, instead of your internal team, are your customers. And when the customers are testers, it means churn.
Yeah, and a lot of people, not everyone, I think there's more reality setting in, but when you say, oh, 10x developers, 90% of our code's written with AI, those are kind of like bad metrics to kind of understand like time to market, building software. Like what advice do you have? Like what are good metrics now to kind of measure productivity in this whole agentic AI coding era we're in?
Well, it's definitely not the amount of code that you produce is the metric. You cannot evaluate by the amount of lines of code as we used to, like 20 years ago. But you can measure by the discipline and by the proper use of AI. So you can prototype with AI. You can build demos with AI. You can even ship features, but you need to keep in mind the software solution that you are building. So you need to know the architecture you are building, the infrastructure you are building on. So you need the software engineering knowledge anyway. The good part is that you don't need, like, I don't know, script monkeys anymore, right? Because your script monkey is the AI agent. But in order to set it on the right track, you need to first ideate your architecture for a large scale product. For simpler things, for internal tools, of course, you can just prompt and get the result right away. I have actually a few examples from my experience, from my past experience, my recent experience, right? So we have a customer who implements features and shows them to their customers as prototypes on their end, but they send them to us if they decide to go ahead with them. so that we implement them into the live product properly, right? And at first, they came to us with the vibe coded product, which was unstable. We cleaned it up. Subscriptions went up 45%. I can tell you the name of the app. It's called Pride Fit, and it's an LGBTQ fitness app built in New York City by a fitness coach. And proper cleanup increased subscriptions big time. And this prototyping protocol that we have in place also speeds up development a lot. Another example is of proper discipline. They have their software engineering experience in-house. They're based in the UK. The name is Granola AI. It's a note-taking app, AI powered. So they know technically what they're doing, but they came to our agency QA work for to integrate us into their release cycle. So no release leaves the house unless it's been approved by my team. And this is important because with the AI they can ship a lot of features, and the speed is really impressive. But before those features reach the customer, we test them. And it's not AI, 100% AI testing. There is test of automation that we implement, and also there is always a part of functionality that needs to be tested manually.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and so what's your point of view? Like, vibe coding is allowing founders, non-developers to build software incredibly quick. But where does vibe coding work, and where does it become dangerous?
Well, it becomes dangerous when it starts working, actually. When a vibe coded product starts working, it's the riskiest moment. It's not the safest, because this is exactly, and also when real users start using it. So at this point, I think that you should stop adding features. You should secure credentials. You should audit permissions and architecture. You need to test critical workflows. You need to define owners. You need to add monitoring and a rollback plan, and then you need to build a production roadmap. And once you have all of those pieces of the puzzle, you can continue and transform your vibe coded prototype, your vibe coded app, into something more, broad and full scale and actually usable.
Yeah. That's really good advice from a lot of years of experience of running commercial apps. A lot of people don't understand that. So yeah, that's some really good advice. And, so maybe talking about how do you develop talent, and I think though, it's a concern now where, yeah, senior developers are so productive with AI, but how are we going to develop the next generation of software developers? And do you have a point of view there, or do you have a strategy or thoughts on that?
Well, I think we should teach them more architecture, more engineering approach rather than syntax. Because syntax is relatively easy, and it's a solved task already out of the box, right? With Gen AI, but in order to know which building blocks, which infrastructure, which approach to the architect, which design patterns you need to broadly apply to a software product of each type, puts on the market more CTOs than, again, strict monkeys. Yeah. And with the AI, every technical person, every person with a software engineering background is a CTO. Basically, you have your team of AI coders, and then you just direct them the right direction and tell them to use these integrations, these APIs, these permissions, implement these permissions, use this data, treat edge cases like this, and escalate in in these conditions.
So what if someone came to you, or even like maybe for some of our CEOs that are listening, and someone comes and proposes an AI agent, like what questions should you ask before approving that investment?
Well, in the first place, not every problem needs AI, or not every problem needs a certain tool. So first you start with the problem and you see what's the best what the best solution would be for to that problem. So you do not like a solution looking for a problem approach, which never works. Maybe your problem can be solved with a simple deterministic logic, like with a simple script. And then it doesn't make sense to build an AI agent out of that because it's a more complex piece of software. And maybe you apply AI somewhere else and don't spend that much on development, on debugging, on testing, on tokens.
Yeah, no doubt. So you've compared multi-agent AI systems to distributed systems, and what are companies underestimating about operating dozens or even hundreds of agents inside a business?
Well, they don't underestimate the level of mistake that they can get from that setup. So, because with AI is a multiplier, no matter on the vibe coding part or on the AI on the agentic part, it's a multiplier, right? So you can easily get compounding error, right? If you have multiple AI agents. Then and so a minor mistake can travel downstream and result into unpredictable stuff, and you need to catch that. And to catch that, you need reproductivity and to be able to reproduce a certain wrong behavior, you need the full audit trail. So, and then on the testing side, it also gets complicated because you don't just get to test the model, but you get to test all the integrations and permissions and the data it's pulling and with the model set to like test with the test to provide you with the result, it may ignore a failed API call. A deterministic software will probably just fail and stop and throw an error. But an AI model, it would be like, we didn't get this data, we didn't manage to pull it. Maybe I should hallucinate something because the master should be happy.
The goal oriented at no cost is not always good, or at all cost is not always good. And then how, like, it's harder now to test like systems with LLMs in it now. Do you have any, like, because it's probabilistic, like the outcome's always a little bit different. If you keep running tests, it's always a little different. And do you have any tips or point of view of like the age of quality assurance or testing with, agentic development?
Well, testing AI agent, first of all, you must test it by its actions and not just answers, right? Because if a chatbot mainly produces text, an agent may read files, call APIs, it can update records, databases, it can send messages, create documents, like trigger payments, whatever. And the test needs to cover the complete chain of actions in an agent, not just the answers. And then let me think.
Yeah, it is a lot more complex. Like as you talked about, just the auditing trail of it running tooling and accessing memory and running MCP servers and APIs. I mean, it does get more complex to test everything.
You should also test the original workflow that you implemented using the agent, right? Because if you you have, in the first place, you need to implement AI only where you understand the workflow and the governance. So you need to really know what happens in this situation. If you can reproduce it, if you can write it on paper, let's say, if it's a workflow that you understand, then it's a good candidate for AI automation. If not, then it will not get predictable. So you always have to start with the problem and with the workflow
Yeah.
and with the
Oh, wow.
pipeline that you are putting in there.
So what's your point of view? So you've been running distributed teams for 2 decades, and AI reduces some cost of development work, but what happens to outsourcing and global software development? If you think things are going to change or
Well, it depends. I think with the like for example, myself, I'm seeing a lot of opportunity in this. For example, with AI, we launched the Vibe Code cleanup service.
That's a good one.
Because a lot of
I like that.
we market it this way, yes. So it's called Vibe Code cleanup.
I like that.
And it's not just a simple code review. So we start with the business logic. We understand what it's supposed to do, and then we see how well the software, Vibe Coded software, is doing the job. And then, I mean, we fix the slope partially manually, partially with the help of AI, just directing it in the right direction. Then we also test everything that's been implemented, and this is how we make a working software out of a raw Vibe Coded prototype. And a good example would be PrideFit, the app that I mentioned, who came to us with the founder came to us with the Vibe Coded software, and we fixed it, we cleaned it up, we made sure that every workflow was tested, not just the happy path tested, but all the edge cases, all the inconsistent user behavior, and
Yeah, that's important.
every
Yeah, great. So, what about looking forward? Like, how do you think the future, because of AI changing everything, how software companies will be, get built? Like, what do you think the market's getting right or wrong? Like, where do you think it's all going?
Well, it's all going as I told you. I think that every software engineer will ultimately become a CTO on their own, and this will pave the way to way more software products than we have right now. Of course, some software products are gonna fade away because just the models themselves can replace that software. Some SaaS software is going away because consider, I don't know, PDF converters. Do you need them if the model can convert between formats? Then it may also affect, and it will affect big time, like more specialized software. For example, accounting software. You can feed all of your invoices, all of your expenses, and incoming payments and your bank statements to the model. Give it a few instructions, and your tax return is ready, for example. So some tax software is going to go away. But on the other hand, I think that with the code becoming so much cheaper and cheaper prototyping, we will see a lot of amazing software for everything.
Yeah, no doubt.
And
Now,
as outsourcing providers, we are also getting a lot of work. It will be a different type of work. So again, as I told you, it's an opportunity. We saw this Vibe Code clean up right away. Then we also embraced AI in terms of building AI agents, testing AI agents. This is what we are doing right now. And there's also an increased demand for software quality assurance services, because imagine with so much software being built, there is also a need for it to be tested by humans, because it's still being built for humans, right? And the humans are the ultimate users of this software, so they're still there with our agency.
yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, was there a
What do you
question?
think?
Yeah, I think that you're right. I mean, I think a lot more software will be built, and that's got to be a nightmare for CIOs in mid to large enterprises, all that technical debt, and people could just build stuff, leave the company, who owns it? You talk about being an owner, and then governance and security and data leakage and accessibility. I mean, all these things, it's just like it's now anyone can build stuff. It doesn't mean they're responsibly doing it or has an engineering mindset of doing it. And so it's gonna, I agree with you, create a lot of opportunity for like what you're doing to provide services. I really love this cleanup of vibe coded apps. But yeah, the opportunity is huge because I think it's a false narrative that like the software development industry is going away. That's just hype. The software development industry is key to implementing all of this intelligence into the world. And so, but I do worry about the next generation of engineers that we have to train them, and they need to understand fundamentals, even though they may not use them, just to develop that critical thinking. And so I think like we as an industry have a problem there, because right now we're all, everyone's racing to compete, make money, win. And so yeah, architects, senior devs, they're 10xing it. And then, but what about the interns and junior devs, So I think we'll probably have a lump in talent, but then everyone will realize that, and then we'll fix that problem. I mean, like a lump, like a curve lump of, but I don't know. But yeah, I agree with your point of view.
Well, I also consider the abstraction level that we are getting to. So, because let me ask you a question. Can you do an HTTP request from the command line?
Yeah.
Me too, right? But as I was hiring web developers, maybe I don't know, 15 years ago, they couldn't do that. They said, like, you create an object, get a request, and then call the execute method.
Yeah.
They have even back then, they had no idea that you can do it from the command line and just
Yeah,
connect to
it's
the
weird.
host to the port and type the HTTP headers to get the content.
Yeah, it's very
Uh,
weird
so
for me.
I think this is comparable, because now you skip the code part entirely, and so you think you operate notions and
Yeah.
terminology.
Yeah, well, my call out to everyone is study computer engineering, study engineering. Like, we need you for sure. And so I want to get into a lightning round, but before we do that, like, was there a question I didn't ask you that like you wanted me to ask that you want to share?
Let me think of something. Because I think I covered already what
Yeah,
I
good, good. I
had.
always like to ask that to have an opportunity, because you might want to share something to the viewers that I didn't ask you about.
Now let's keep this part.
Okay, good. All right, so here I just started doing these lightning rounds. This is my second one. And so yeah, try and answer it in 1 to 3, 4 sentences, whatever. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. So AI coding, overhyped, underhyped?
Underhyped.
Best AI coding tool you use today?
Cloud code.
Vibe coding, opportunity or technical debt time bomb? I think we talked about that, but go ahead and answer it.
Both.
Yeah, it is both. Will AI replace junior developers?
For sure.
Will we eventually have companies with more AI agents than employees?
For sure, yes.
What's one AI engineering task AI is already better at than humans?
I don't know, writing a simple script.
All right, yeah. What engineering task would you never hand over to AI?
Well, without human in the loop, I would certainly not do sensitive stuff like payments, like some critical large payments.
Yeah. And what's the most underrated skill for a software engineer in the AI era?
Well, I think in the first place is critical thinking.
Yeah.
But the engineering skill, I don't know, the whole set of them, like decomposition.
Yeah. Okay. And what's one piece of advice you'd give a 22-year-old starting a software company today?
Well, start with the problem and apply common sense.
Yeah. And then here's the last one. So, what technology trend are you personally most excited about over the next few years?
Let it be, I don't know, let it be humanoid robots.
Let it be what? Human?
Humanoid robots.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I'm waiting for one myself. Well, great. Now, Constantine, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact me directly on LinkedIn, or they can go to my webs to one of my websites, redbird.com or qawork.com, and fill out the contact form. And my team will be in touch. And I love new challenges, so I'd be excited to help your audience out with their software and AI projects.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, well, I think what makes you guys unique is you've built so much good commercial software used by so many people. I think that says a lot because it's one thing to build software, it's another for it to be tested, with that kind of level of usage and both quality and user experience and everything. So, yeah, congratulations and yeah, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Dean. Thank you.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot. Post it to your favorite social platform or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.